Master speaks, I would like to just preface his remarks with a little direction. Listen. Listen with your eyes tonight. And see with your soul. And accept what Jesus said and be as little children. Leave your prejudice outside the door. Leave your preconceived ideas outside the door. And if you would gain an experience from this meeting, let the love that is going to be projected to you be returned by you. And you will gain an experience tonight that you will never duplicate. Master?
Dear brothers and sisters, we are all children of God. We were someday in the lap of God. Ever since we were separated from God, we have forgotten God. And engaged in schisms, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness, the result was we are all unhappy. God sends masters to realize that they are all one. Born with the same privilege from God. The same soul of the same essence as that of God. And the same God overhead whom we worship. So they bring this message of unity, which when we forget, all these lead to bigotry, narrow-mindedness, and all schisms. Masters come, they are not the monopoly of any sect, first of all. They come for all the world over, like sun rises and gives light all around them. No question who, high or low, one country or the other, wearing labels of one religion or the other. So there's no east and west for them. The whole creation is the home of our Father. The earth below and the sky overhead. On my last visit when I came here, there was one meeting held east and west. And men from all countries who had just arrived there then, they were asked to speak on their own behalf. So I was also asked to stand up and say what I had to say. So I told them that there is this whole creation in the house of our Father. So many rooms there are, so many countries are, so many rooms in the house of our Father. All men born alike. With the same privilege from God as I submitted before. Same constitution outside and inside. No high, no low. As soul, being the doves of this ocean of all consciousness, we are all brothers and sisters in God. As whom we worship, He is the same, called by so many names. So the unity exists and we have forgotten. They bring in the message to the world that there is God, who is the maker of all universe. He is the controller of all universe and permeates all creation. This is the message they bring to the world. They say that this world did not come of itself, as the beginning the scientist said it is the action-reaction of the matter, but ultimately they have come to the conclusion that Huxley, the great scientist, gave out ultimately that there is a power controlling all creation which is conscious. So such masters, when they come, they say that God is love and our soul have got love in it. They bring in religion of love, no new religion. And all masters who came in the past, they gave out, love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And the second, love thy neighbor as thyself. As God resides in every heart, the same soul being of the same essence of God, we are all brothers and sisters in God, and the same a man born with the same purity from God. So they say, love God. God resides in every heart. So we should love all, because God resides in every heart, and also we are all brothers and sisters in God. So this thing we forget, they come to revive this truth which exists. Unity already exists, and we have forgotten. They say, if you would like to meet God, then what you should do? You should all love all. If you want to meet God, then you should all love all. Hatred for none. Sympathy for all. Peace be unto all the world over under thy will, O God, as Guru Nanak gave. And all of the masters said the same. Tenth Guru, Kabir says the same thing. We should love God, who is the creator of all universe, who is controlling all universe and controlling us in the body too. Man body is a wonderful house we live in. It has got so many apertures, but we cannot run away out of it. Body works for as long as we are in the body. And we are in the body until that power controls us in the body. When that power leaves, we have to leave the body. So, say we should love our God. So Tenth Guru also said the same thing, you see. God resides in every heart. If you want to love God and you say, whom you do not see, how can you say that you love God when you those whom you see, you do not love them? Because He also resides in every heart. First of all, He resides in our own heart. He is the controlling power keeping us in the body. So in all, there is no heart without it. Somewhere it is manifest. Others, they are though not manifest. Then whom the God is manifest, they are sent, they appear before the mankind to guide them properly. So there are so many sins you see in the world, one graver than the other. So Mawlana says, you made drink. So drinking is the mother of all evils. That's a sin, of course. But they say, he says there is still more greater heinous crime than that. And what is that? He says, burn all scriptures. It is still very grave sin. He says, all right, this is also grave sin, we know, but there is still greater sin than that too. And that is, put all places of worship on fire, burn them down. It's the gravest, of course. But he says there's still most grave than that is, don't torment anybody. Because you want to meet God, He lies every heart. You have no sympathy for Him, you hate Him. So this is the greatest of all things. So man body is the highest in all creation. Next to God, even the angels are asked to bow down before the man body. So man body is the highest of all. It is a golden opportunity afforded to us, because in this man body only we can know God, in no other body. So it is said, it is a man, Rig Veda says, it is a Brahmapuri, in which Brahm can be manifested. It is Devapuri. It is the place where God manifests. So they say, love God. This is the religion they bring for the mankind. And they tell us, the rishis, when they return, their soul return from after enjoying the bliss of the higher planes, they selected the man body to enter. Because in man body alone, they can know God. Even the gods and goddesses aspire for that man body. And we are fortunate, we have got that man body. So who we are, they say, well, you are conscious entity. Man body, you have got very golden opportunity, of course, to know God. But to know God, you must know yourself first, because it is you who have to know God, not the body. Body is a golden opportunity afforded to us, in which we can know God. So to know God first, we will have to know ourselves. And truly speaking, this man body is not our home. This is golden opportunity afforded to us in which we can go back to our home, true home. So the address, O soul, this man body of this world is not your true home. Your true home is one where it is all consciousness. Your man, your conscious entities. So make the best use of this man body. So man body is the treasure house in which God resides. Quran says, I am a hidden treasure within you. Why don't you find me? Seek me there. Maulana Rumi says, outer place of pilgrimage of the Muhammadan Makkah, you see Kaaba, is the house of God. He says that Khalilul Rahman raised, and this man body raised by whom? By God, in the womb of your mother. It is more than appreciated to be the house of God. So all masters, Guru Nanak says, look here, that the treasure of divinity is within you. To find it, just follow the word of some master. How to tap inside, how to vidya from outside, how to come in contact, open your single eye to see the light of God which is within you. So, truly speaking, body is the true temple of God. It is the body in which what is the light of God is manifest. So this is why it is said, with all light is within us, take heed that the light within you is not darkness. And Christ said, I have come to make people see who do not see. And those who see may be blind. What does it mean? Attention is the outward expression of soul. When our attention withdraws from outside, it is all dark. It is all becoming blind. When you see within your own self where there is darkness now, that the more attention you put in there, the more darkness will be thin, you will see light coming up. So this is what he meant, that I have come to make people see who do not see, and those who see, they may be blind. So blind word in the terminology of the masters is not one who has got no eyes on the forehead, but to the inner eye or the single eye is not open. So masters come to open that eyes within us. So as a man, you see, outer temples are made after the model of man body. All temples are made a dome shaped Hindu temple. There and they put up those two symbols of God. God, when he wanted to be many, there was vibration. And vibrations results in two things, light and sound. God is light and God is the voice of the God. God is the music of the sphere, Satinada. So these two symbols were kept in the temples outside, made after the model of man body, put in light and sound. They can kindle and light a candle and ring the bell. In churches, they are no-shaped, long-shaped. Therein also they put in light candle and the bell is ringing. In the mosques, they are forehead-shaped. There also they light a candle. In all holy places of worship, of one religion or another, all this is the symbol style. So one thing is there. We have those symbols. We are not fully aware what for these symbols stand. For want of practical people. We may be very learned, but those who have not seen the light within, how can they say the light within? God is light. We do say, God is light. If you have not seen light, then how can you say God is light? This is only what you read books or heard from anybody. The master says it is just like a blind man saying God is light. He is evaluating in all creation. So if he has not seen, he says he is in all creation, then it is just like a man who do not see and do not hear. So say you must see first and then say. Then how many there are such like people in the world? There have been in the past few, even now they are, but they are few, who can open the inner eye to give the light of God within you. So this unity as man, as soul, as God whom we worship, we are all one. Unity already exists and we have forgotten. Master come to have this unity realized by us. If that's like happens, you see, the kingdom of God will come on earth. So ever since we separated from God, as I told you, we are sometimes in the lap of God. We are under great delusion. How? Our souls are under the command of mind. Mind is under the control of outgoing faculties. And outgoing faculties are drawn like anything from the outer enjoyment. So our soul, the outer expression of which is attention, that is identified with the outgoing faculties, body and outer world, so much so that we cannot differentiate ourselves. We say it is my body. We say it is my coat, it is my head, it is my prana. But we cannot separate us practically from us. I say this is my spectacle. I can put it out. I can say my head, I can put it out. I can say my coat, I can put it out. Can you put it off my body? So it is we who will live in this man body. So masters come to tell us how to come out of the delusion. Moreover, the law of cause and effect, as you sow, so shall you reap, is also very much in action while in earth. And some on account of what you forgetfulness under a great optical illusion, the old song goes on, coming and going, never ended. Because we are the doer. So Master tells us what to do. He says we must come out of this man body. O man, know thyself, who you are, what you are. All masters in the east or the west both gave us this solution for the whole. This deception, how to come out. How to eliminate this optical deception, you say. body is made of matter, and the soul is conscious entity. Outside world is also made of matter, both changing at the same speed as our body, and we are identified with the body so much so that we cannot differentiate ourselves. When two things are changing at the same speed and we are identified with it, it appears we are all stationary. How great delusion it is. Optical illusion. The only thing is we can, if we rise above body consciousness, we know ourselves, who we are, what we are. We have got the man body, we have got the intellect, but we are conscious entities. It is you and living the mind, this faculty of the body. We, it is we who give strength to the outgoing faculties to see, to hear, to taste. And it is we who are controlled by those things. How pity it is us who are to be put before the cart. Cart is put before the horse. So Master said, unless all masters, West, Greek philosophers said the same thing. In their own language, of course, Gnoti Theodon. Old Latin philosophers said the same thing, Gnosi Tipsum. Persian philosophers said, the ultimate goal of all knowledge is to know self. If you have known so much about the physical body, so much about the intellect, and you have known little or nothing about your own self, then you are an ignorant man. It is we who are to leave the body. It is we who are living the body. And it is we who are now controlled by the body and outgoing faculty like anything. So you'll find that the parable to show that one man was praying God. Somebody asked him, what's the matter? What for you pray God? He said, last night thieves came here and took away my horse. People said, what is there to thank God? He said, I am thanking God that I was not riding on the horse, otherwise I would have been taken away. I think he was very wise. He saved the rider and let the horse go. And what you have done? We have kept the horse. The rider is forgot. So Guru Nanak says, unless you analyze yourself without your attention from all outside and from what is below, come up to the feet of the soul at the back of the eyes, and your inner eye is open, the single eye, then single eye be open, thy whole body shall be full of light, until thus the deception cannot go out. Now, of our own self, why can't we come out of this delusion, I would say? Because we are identified with the outgoing faculties, body and mind and intellect. And all practices that we follow to know God or to know self, they all relate to body, outgoing faculties, mind and intellect. So we are already identified and do practices, follow practices such which relate to those things, how can we rise above body consciousness? Some people, it is seen, they have got some backgrounds. They see light, they hear some sound, but they go to a doctor to treat them what is the disease. They do not know further what to do. So my point is, Guru Nanak says, unless you analyze yourself, rise above body consciousness, you cannot know God. So to know oneself is the first step that we have to take. Other things will follow after that. So Emerson said, tap insight. And Christ also said, you know, except you be reborn, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, the Jewish head, who was a very learned man, came up to him saying, Lord, we are grown up people, how can we re-enter the womb of the mother and be reborn? And the Christ told him, look here, you are a learned man, people respect you like anything, don't you know that flesh is born of the flesh and spirit of the spirit? Then he said, you must be reborn. So reborn means one birth in this man body, the other birth into the beyond. These things, all masters they told you, East or West makes no difference. They all have the same thing to say in their own language, of course. In the East, among the Hindus, there is a custom to be twice born. Children of 5 years, 7 years, 9 years old, they are made twice born. They are given what? Gayatri Mantra. Perhaps you might have heard about it. It is a mantra considered to be the highest. That means rise above bodies, accept the ray of the sun coming up to you and rise to the sun to be one with Sana. O Lord, direct our attention to that. That's the prayer. The children of 5 years, 7 years, 9 years old, children were made twice born. They have given this mantra. And at the same time, they have given demonstration of how to rise above body consciousness, open the single eye within or the third eye to see the light of God. The same custom even now prevails amongst the Hindus. They give the same mantra to them, but no demonstration, for want of practical people. So, practically it is something, you see, to rise above body consciousness or dying by the life, or to be reborn. So, all Master says, learn to die so that you may begin to live. Saint Paul talks that thus, those are initiated in the mystery of the beyond, their soul has the same experience, passed through the same process as a dying man while leaving the body, reverts to the back of the eyes when his eyes are upturned, and there he lives into the beyond. But in that case, the silver cord on which is based on the reaction of the past is broken. He never returns, but to die while alive, that silver cord is not broken, he has to return. Saint Paul said, I die daily. Take cross daily. All masters, Quran says, die before you actually die. Somebody reported to Prophet Muhammad, you look here, is this a death which will lead us to the grave? He said, no, it is not such a death. It will lead you from darkness to light. The sun sets this way, rises the other way. So you got the man body, go and learn to die while alive. This is a golden opportunity you have got. Dadu, Saint of the East also says the same, learn to die so that you may begin to live. Guru Nanak says, learn to die daily 100 times a day, if you can, at will. All glory and beauty lies within you. Ashrubha, plane is more beautiful than the physical one, causes still more, and subtle spiritual prince more beautiful and enchanting than the outside. Once you have a bliss of that, you won't like to return. No man does not dare to go beyond. Man is afraid of death. And nobody can escape death. That's the pity. All have to leave body. All saints, all incarnations, all kings, all papas, all, one and all. Everybody has to leave the body. And we also have to, you may say further. So, how to conquer death? You know, when there is no escape from it, then we should learn to die. What to die means to leave this physical plane, rise into the beyond. And this is what the Master gave the very first day at the time of initiation. How to rise above body consciousness. So such like Masters are wanted, who know of this world as well as of the beyond. Their body appears to be in the world, but their soul is the mouthpiece of God. They appear to be engaged in so many outer pursuits, but whenever they want, they rise above body consciousness and traverse into the beyond. Those who are competent to that extent, then they are competent to raise you also above body consciousness. Withdraw your attention from all outside, take it to the seat of the soul at the back of the eyes and transcend into beyond. So we are afraid of death for two reasons. One, we do not know how to leave the body. You see? Scriptures tell us, Puranas tell us that when the soul leaves the body, it has terrible pain, like 1,000 scorpions sting together. One scorpion bites, you see, terrible pain, what to speak of 1,000 scorpions biting together. Mohammedan scriptures tell us the same thing. The soul, when it leaves the body, it experiences the same trouble. But when you put a thorny bush through the rectum, through the elementary canal, and take out from the mouth, you've seen many men dying in terrible pain. They cannot leave the body. So what Master tell us how to rise on the very first day. Then day-to-day practice.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. Today our reader is Leslie McIntosh. Are you there, Leslie?
Yes, good morning.
Okay, carry on.
Thank you. Let's begin Master Satsang with his invocation. Supreme Lord of the universe, who dwells neither in church nor temple, neither in synagogue nor mosque, but who is the soul of our very soul, we invoke your blessings from the depths of our innermost being. Beloved Master, make us simple, pure, and strong in your all-encompassing love, that all beings may look upon us and see your light shining within us. Holy Word of God, bathe us in the living waters of spirituality. Give us union with the eternal song of the Lord, and strengthen our faith in the Master within. These things we do ask in your holy name. Amen. This morning's reading will be from Master's The Night is a Jungle, ending chapter 5, Guru, Guru Dev, and Satguru, and beginning chapter 6, Let Us Reform Ourselves. Bhai Nandlal says, get hold of a perfect master and follow his instructions fully. Then shalt thou gain salvation even while engaged in worldly duties. God is with thee from eternity. Thou hast but to turn thy face unto him. For Guru Arjan Ramdas, his guru, was not only a mere human being, but was an embodiment of God himself, and God verily dwelt in the form of Ramdas. A disciple who does not see in his master the power of God is not yet a true disciple. He is yet on probation and continues to be so until he sees in him the glory of God. And this in the true sense happens only when the master reveals his radiant form within the disciple. It is this resplendently luminous form that guides the soul from plane to plane in the spiritual journey homewards. When this radiant form comes, you may converse with him, for then many problems will resolve of themselves. The guru who works as a human guide on the physical plane is known as Guru Dev when he manifests himself in his astral radiance, and the same power when it escorts the soul on to the highest region of unalloyed bliss and harmony is called Satguru, truth personified or Master of Truth. Those who are Guru Bhaktas see something superb in the Living Master. A Sikh disciple truly lives in sweet remembrance of the Guru. Just as an infant depends for his very existence on the milk of his mother, so does the disciple depend on the water of life, or the bread of life, with which the Master continuously feeds him. He loves the disciple with every breath of his life and constantly takes care of his well-being in diverse ways, which the poor infant does not know. How fondly the mother takes care of her baby, herself undergoing all sorts of privations to make him comfortable. A master does much more than this. It is a pity that we do not realize the greatness of the Guru. We know only that much which he may, in his grace, choose to reveal to us. If a mother were to ask her child if he knew her, he may say yes, but how much can he know? Similarly, we the disciples cannot possibly fathom the greatness of the Guru. After all, why all this adoration? What do they give us to merit such praise? They impart to us their own life impulse and transmit to us that divine ecstasy of which we have read so much in the scriptures. All this is done through their magnetic eyes, from which highly charged spiritual currents pass on to us. Life comes from life, as does light from light. A really living reservoir of life can help us to find the font of life, and nobody else can do this. This is the immutable law of nature, and it admits no exception whatsoever. Our Hazur was a limitless ocean of the life-giving water. We find in the Gurbani, the teachings of the great masters are the same for one and all. Listen ye to the direct testimony of the saints, for they speak of what they actually see with their inner eyes. The testimony of saints, then, is direct and immediate and not based on hearsay or on the authority of scriptural texts. In succinct and lucid terms, they tell us of their inner experiences with their own self and with God. Having a direct contact with the power of God within, they are able to give us the correct interpretation of the various scriptures, ironing out the seeming differences, and present an integrated picture of the reality as the sages and seers of all times. It is said, those who see God face to face shall all tell the same thing. The differences come in only because of the means of approach in each case, the language of the time employed, the mode of expression then prevailing, and the intellectual level of the age. Again, these differences are not in essentials, but only in non-essential details. To sit together is a sovereign remedy for all the ills of mankind. What the masters give is an invaluable gift of pure spirituality, which cannot be taught, but may, like an infection, be caught from the radioactive rays that emanate from them. I may tell you that spirituality, too, is a kind of science not unlike other sciences. It is a science of metaphysical experiences, the results of which can be verified with precision and exactitude. The credit for presenting it as a regular science and for the scientific approach to the abstruse and abstract subject that has ever baffled mankind goes to Hazur. With the change in the temper of the people in this scientific age, it was he who conceived that it could appeal most only if it was presented in a spirit of conformity with the present times. It is an age-old subject, the most ancient, coming from time immemorial. It is to our advantage that Hazur revived this as a science of soul. Though spiritual awakening is given by many, yet the divine revelation is granted by few. It is due to his good grace that so many are acquiring the inner experience of holy light and sound principle, which can, of course, be developed by practice with loving concentration. Let us strive to be worthy sons of our Father. Try to understand the facts of divine life. Hazur has not gone away from us. His divine power is ever with us in spite of an ostensible change of covering. And even now, the same divine grace is working in abundance. That concludes Chapter 5, In the Night is a Jungle, of Guru, Gurudev, and Sadhguru. We'll begin now with Chapter 6, Let Us Reform Ourselves. The significance of satsang has been explained on a number of occasions. This is a sacred place, Sawan Ashram, and must be taken as such. Whenever you visit a Gurudwara or a temple, you do so with a feeling of reverence. If you go there without such a feeling and keep thinking about worldly affairs, what will you gain? The purpose of your coming here is to love of God. The purpose of your coming here is love of God, His remembrance and communion with Him. Come here with a clean mind and pure heart, remembering the Lord. Then alone you will be able to derive full benefit from satsang. The more attentive you are, the greater will be the benefit. Whatever you understand, you must practice. Otherwise, the result is sorrow. Swamiji Maharaj has aptly explained the significance of satsang. Kabir, in a couplet, says, "The heart is somewhere else, but the body is with the saint." How can an unbleached cloth be dyed like this? If you just sit quietly and attentively, even if you are not able to follow the satsang fully, you will derive some benefit. By thinking about mundane matters, you not only harm yourself, but you also spoil the atmosphere for others. We do not assemble here to make friends, but to establish a true relationship, the relationship with God that does not break even after death. It cannot be snapped during one's lifetime. It is only because of our lack of understanding, false sense of ego, and such other ideas that we are amidst this conflict. Where does this conflict lead us to? To suffering. There can be no salvation by visiting this place as a routine. The more you put your heart into the satsang, the happier you will be. If you do this, you will get something which is not available elsewhere. You have been asked to maintain a diary, but you remain adamant and do not do so. If we keep a diary regularly, we can become angels. We are not saints, but have come here to become saints. This can happen only if we put our hearts to what we understand here. Swamiji pointedly tells us, "For years we have been having satsang. At least now leave old habits." If we do something for a number of days or months, it becomes a habit. Habits so formed should be unraveled. Bad habits, falsehood, deceit, enmity, intrigue, backbiting, etc., should be discarded. It is to shred these old habits that we come to satsang. If that is not done, and we make only a show of it, then what is the point of coming to satsang? We come to satsang to form such habits and adopt such ideas so as to forge a link with the truth, sat, to give up negative ideas and to assimilate positive thoughts in our lives. The Holy Quran says that even God does not care about a person who does not think of reforming himself. By reforming ourselves, we can change the whole world. The worst of all bad habits is to criticize others. One must observe non-injury, non-violence, even in thought. All religions are good, but the observance of non-violence is the highest. Forget the past and discard all bad habits. Otherwise, we will only harm ourselves and remain entangled in the whirlpool of births and deaths. Thus, saints lovingly exhort us to give up obstinacy now. Swamiji says, "How long are we going to deceive the Master? It is high time we get to know him." Deceiving the Master means that we think whatever we do, good or bad, is all right and that he is not watching us. But the Master power is always within us and is watching all our actions. The Master is not an ordinary human being. The Master is a divine power manifest on a human pole. That power is always watching us, although physically he may be not seeing us. So, recognize the Master power. The Master loves all, even those who may consider themselves as his enemies. He wishes everyone well. Even if someone threatens to kill him, he will not wish ill of him. Why? Because of the Master power in him. If we recognize this power in him, we must obey him, for he will never give us bad advice. Swamiji reminds us that satsang is done by the Master, who is not an ordinary human being. Then who is a guru or master? He is God himself. You should come here in his remembrance and go out remembering him. Adopt whatever things are helpful to reach him and reject those which become obstacles. To reach God is not difficult, but difficult it is to become a man. Although we may appear to show great reverence and understanding, we consider ourselves to be wisest of all. That is why Swamiji Maharaj has said that we must leave our bad old habits. Everyone judges things from his own level. Unless you concede someone as your superior and obey him, you cannot get anything. Anyone who has not attained a higher level will take you downward. He who is at a higher level will unite all. All human beings are liable to make mistakes. If someone commits a mistake, forgive and forget. Kabir says that if someone considers the Master an ordinary human being, he will get the lowest birth. The manifest God in him is the Master. If you consider him a superior individual, you must listen to him. If you do not agree with him, he may not contest it and may say that he might have made a mistake. Even then, if he is blamed, it cannot result in happiness and will cause suffering. There is not an iota of doubt about it. The purpose of satsang is to increase happiness within ourselves. When a soul gets a link with God it will acquire all his virtues. The Master is full of compassion and washes away our sins. For example, a mother lovingly cleans the dirt of her child before embracing him. She does not harm him. We come to satsang to become saints. We can do so if we practice what we are able to grasp. Swamiji thus very lovingly explains that we are committing a blunder if we see the Master from our own level. He goes on to say, do not take the Guru to be merely a human being. He is the essence of the Lord. The question now is, who is a Master? This is not a new question. Guru Nanak was asked this question. He replied that the word is the Guru or the Master, and the soul is the disciple. The Lord himself is the Master, and our souls are his disciples. Kabir also gave the same reply when this question was put to him. When the soul establishes a contact with him, it is the human pole on which the light of God is manifest. He can show light to others. That is the only proof of his being the Master. Christ has said, I am the light of the world. Those who come to me shall never walk in darkness. The Master's word is the real Master. Those who obey what he says achieve salvation. He can give us some experience of light. If this is done, then there is no scope for doubt. Swamiji says that the Master is the essence of God. That God power working through the Master never dies. He also says, make the mind understand somehow and contemplate on him with loving confidence. Swamiji means that somehow we will have to understand that the Master in whom the God power is manifest can give us the experience of that power. Excuse me. This is the only touchstone to remove any doubt. Anyone can lecture, act, and pose, but few can give the experience of light within. Someone who can give this experience proves adequately that he has the divine light in him. Then whatever he says must be accepted. What he says is that we should have communion with God, who is within all of us. God, who is within us all, and therefore we should love all. The mind may refuse to understand this, but you will have to make it understand. So it is not difficult to find God. It is difficult to become a real man. Dr. Iqbal, the famous Urdu poet, once said that Moses went to Mount Tur in search of God, but he did not know that God himself was in search of a real man. Baba Jamal Singh found Hazur, my master, in the Muri Hills of Punjab. Was there no one else for him to find in the whole of Punjab? What I mean to stress is that the mind will have to recognize the Master. Then only we will be able to obey him. Otherwise, we will remain entangled in a maze of doubts, and the purpose of human life and of coming to satsang will not be achieved. Now Swamiji tells us his discourses with compassion and grace. He is God personified. The Master's mission is to teach us with compassion and grace. All are the Lord's children. What is the power which creates such compassion and love in him? It is the God power which compels him to love all. He is love personified. He teaches love and spreads vibrations of love. His words are meant for increasing love. Swamiji thus exhorts to us to obey the Master. If we developed love of God, enabling us to see Him in all and all in Him, there is no reason for us to come to this world again and again. When we forget the Lord, our ego naturally gets bloated and we are caught up in our conflicts. The karmic law is supreme. If you cause suffering, you will suffer. If you do violence, you will face violence. And similarly, if you usurp somebody's rights, your rights will be usurped. Thus, you will keep coming and going in this world. Hence, the need to change ourselves. Hence, the need to change ourselves. Saints always teach us with love, but if necessary, they may punish us to reform us. Swamiji, therefore, says, the Master Power works on a human pole. He will liberate you anyway. So man is the teacher of man. The Master comes in a human form and becomes like us to teach us. He is a human being like us. God is hidden in him and is the source of our lives. But in him, the Master, God, is manifest. This is the only difference. Excuse me, old masters cannot come back to guide us, although we can benefit by reading whatever they have said. The living master, who has passed through life just like us, has the experience of life. He says he has done it, and you cannot do it likewise by strictly. He says he has done it, and you can do it likewise by strictly following the principles. What are those principles? They are truth and love of God. You should love all and ignore others' mistakes with love. Blood cannot be washed with blood, but it can be washed with the water of love. And Swamiji advises, serve and worship him, for he is not different from Guru Nanak. And that will conclude our satsang for today. Thank you, Master.
Thank you, Leslie, for the wonderful reading. Excuse me a minute, I'll do a count. So today we had 74 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now please hang up your phone.